hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting and calling that to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. The guy who claims he just don't believe in fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking inside me, running down with life, I'm fighting in the fog and die to be. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. And you run down my country, man. You walk in right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. And, of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me. All sorts of things have come my way the last 24 hours. Some more annoying than others. It's quite clear from the Canadian Army, of course, nobody's allowed to say it, but that we're getting this through leaks, that the Canadian Armed Forces is pretty adamant with the Canadian government not to permit Huawei, that's that big Chinese telecom company that wants to muscle into the North American market. It will be one of its specialties is 5G, which is the next generation of cell phone, etc. communications. The problem is, and we've been warned about this for some time, that Red China businesses work very closely with the government and where needs be with the spy agencies. There isn't the divide that there is in North America. And the same goes actually for the Chinese gangs, the triads. The antagonism that there is in much of, certainly in Europe and North America, between, let's say, organized crime and government. And yeah, I know there occasionally is some overlap, but that doesn't exist. They're interchangeable. Anyway, the Huawei 5G technology has, it's widely believed, a back door. That is, the managers will be able to spy on you. So, if they sell this kind of technology to the West. Wonderful, you know, that they basically, crudely put, it's like tapping our phones. This is from today's Globe and Mail. Canada's military wants the federal government to ban Chinese telecommunications giant Huawei Technologies Company Limited from supplying equipment for the next generation of wireless infrastructure, according to a senior Canadian official with knowledge of the matter, who of course is not allowed to be quoted, because officially the army says nothing. Well, you know, it's so typical of keeping Canadians in the dark. And the senior military official said that the Joint Chiefs of Canadian Forces Chief of General Staff Jonathan Vance told senior levels of government they believe Huawei would threaten national security. The military believes Huawei is not a trusted vendor because in 5G equipment, its 5G equipment could be used for Chinese espionage or to disable critical infrastructure during an international crisis. And that is perhaps even more dangerous than spying. The ability to to disable through sending, I guess very crudely put, the wrong messages or preventing you from communicating. I mean, it's frightening. Supposing your phone suddenly just didn't work or the message is going out. You're trying to, let's say, hypothetically, open your garage door with the door opener. It sends a signal. Well, supposing somebody meddled with that, and you couldn't send the signal. Yeah, you're there. You're pushing away at the button, trying to open the door, and it won't open. Well, that's on a very, very minor scale. What could happen? the possibilities are endless, and let's not kid ourselves. And you know, the Chinese are notorious for stealing technology. So these concerns have to be taken very, very seriously. The report in the Globe and Mail continues. It's not just the Canadian Armed Forces. The military believes Huawei is not a trusted vendor because its 5G equipment could be used for Chinese espionage or to disable critical infrastructure. It's also concerned that allowing Huawei into 5G could jeopardize security or cooperation with the United States and intelligence sharing among the Five Eyes. Now, the Five Eyes are Australia, New Zealand, England, the United States, and Canada. And again, very crudely put. So we can avoid domestic accusations of domestic spying on telecommunications. What we do is, let's say hypothetically, New Zealand spies on Canada and reports the Canadian authorities telecommunications of interest. Canada spies on Australia, and similarly, Australia spies on the United States, and all of this is by cooperation. So, technically speaking, Canada can say we don't listen to Canadians. Electronic communications. I mean, except when they have a warrant. No. Well, they do, but not directly. But the fear is, if one or any of the big five use the Huawei 5G technology, the Red Chinese will be able to glean a lot of information. Now, so far, the United States and Australia have banned Huawei. Daniel Le Boutillier,
head of media relations at the Department of National Defense said the military can't comment on the matter. It's so gallingly typical. Keep us in the dark. Tell us nothing. Well, you're with the taxpayers. And after all, ding ding, it's our country. John Turnbull, a retired Brigadier General who worked in military signals intelligence, said that the Department of National Defense would not be basing its recommendations on technical analysis, but on Canadian relationship with Washington. This Five Eyes relationship is pretty important to the Department of National Defense and to the military intelligence world. I'm not sure how many people really understand 5G, but they do understand economics, and they understand power plays, and there are two big economic spheres of influence here. And when they're forced to pick a side, it tends to be with the U.S., and that makes a very, very considerable sense here. I mean, why would we pick the Red Chinese? But it's not just the Canadian military. The Canadian Security and Intelligence Service also sees Huawei as a cybersecurity threat and wants it barred from 5G networks. And I certainly hope it will be. The Globe and Mail reported in November that CSIS is at odds with the Communication Security Establishment, the Electronic Surveillance Agency, CSE, has said robust testing and monitoring of Huawei 5G equipment can mitigate potential security risks. Well, mitigate perhaps, but not avoid. So why would we want to avoid? Okay. Well, yes. Bruce Kidd. Now, there's a name from yesteryear. Bruce Kidd was a Canadian athlete, and he ran, my gosh, I was a kid back then. He ran in the 1964 Olympics. He's a University of Toronto professor, but he's more than that. He's not more than just an educated jock. He's a far leftist. I remember him back in the 60s and 70s, extremely radical. he was a Marxist, and I believe actually a Trotskyist. And this is from Running magazine. It profiles Bruce Kidd. He was a 19-year-old in 1962 and won a big race at the British Empire Games. And he was a far leftist in the 60s and 70s. When he came back with a bit of a reputation behind him, he used that to advance his radicalism. It made him something of a hot commodity to have a relatively famous and important person adopting leftist causes. he returned to
to Canada from some of these races, and it became quite a radical. he persisted in being a dedicated but critical supporter of sport. As a volunteer administrator, he led Canada's first team to the World Student Games, while advocating for full student participation in the organization, as well as involvement of women. He campaigned against South African apartheid. He worked hard for the 1976 Montreal Olympics, but protested against Mayor Jean Drapeau, believing his law and order agenda undermined humanitarianism. He demonstrated for the for First Nations, that's Indians, land claims, etc. Bruce Kidd is something of a radical, which is kind of really just background to this piece that he wrote today in the Globe and Mail. And it's he says that the IOC must rule out sex testing for the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Well, what's sex testing? Well, because most sports, I'm not sure if I'd say all, yeah, I think most, maybe not equestrian and a couple of others, but are segregated by sex. You know, there's men's soccer, women's soccer, men's field hockey, women's field hockey, men's track and field, women, etc. Okay, that seems straightforward enough. Well, it is and it isn't. What about transgendered people or people of bizarre sexuality? And this is particularly bad in women's sports. If a person is not really a woman, but is really some sort of man, maybe thinks he's a woman, or even just pretends to be a woman, there's tremendous advantage in many sports. Men have a larger muscle structure. Men are, in general, stronger. Well, in many sports, that gives them a tremendous advantage if they're competing in women's sports. Well, it would seem reasonable to test all athletes where there might be a bit of a question to make sure that that person is indeed a woman if they're going to participate in women's sports. By the way, Bruce Kidd's all against that. He doesn't want that tested. And he says, the past 50 years of science and scholarship have demonstrated that while gender is structured in many societies as binary, it is not lived as binary. In fact, the determination of gender, both social and biological, are extremely complex and fluid. Well, no, they're not. In almost all cultures, gender is quite clear. Man, woman. It's binary, like it's one of it's either or. It's not one of a smorgasbord. To empower unaccountable sports bodies, he says, advised by self-selected physicians to exclude some women on the basis of their personal perceptions of womanhood is both wrong-headed and unfair. Well, one way is to test the testosterone level in the person, and if it's high, the person's a guy. In fact, this has been a problem with South African runner Caster Semenya. And she's challenging a decision that forces her to lower her testosterone levels. You see, that's almost a form of drugging. Just as an athlete is not supposed to be hopped up on some sort of strength enhancing or some other enhancing drug, similarly with certain hormones. But being a Marxist, Bruce Kidd doesn't agree with that. He says, I urge the IOC to do the right thing. He goes on to say about this South African runner, Semenya,
The IOC announced that there would be no gender testing prior to the Rio Games. The same should be announced in Tokyo. Well, I don't agree. It's very unfair to real women, because if you are essentially allowing some form of a man to run in a race against women, it's simply not fair.
You would think that would be a given to somebody who had been a sportsman, but Bruce Kidd has always been a far leftist, and the ones who are actually loudest about wanting this type of testing are women athletes. It's one thing to compete fairly against other women. It's quite another thing to be asked to compete against somebody who really is some form of a man. The FBI elevates threat of white nationalists and neo-Nazis to the same level as ISIS. And this commentary by Chuck Brands: inverting reality and terrorizing white people is now the official policy of the cultural Marxists who run our societies. Quote, if you're white, you're a terrorist if you don't hate your race. I'm not even exaggerating, he says. That is the conclusion you must come to if you follow the enemy's logic. Now the FBI has upped the ante even more by putting resistors of white genocide on the national threat priority. So you would think a national threat would only be somebody involved in serious acts of violence against persons or property to further their ideology, which is, give or take, the definition used for a security threat in Canada, well, officially. Unofficially, it's a lot broader. But in a hearing before the House Judiciary Committee on Wednesday, FBI Director Christopher Wray outlined several concrete steps the agency has taken to combat violent far-right extremists, explaining that the national threat priority designation puts those groups or individuals on the same footing as ISIS in terms of the resources the FBI will devote to it. So look for a lot more snooping and spying by the FBI on dissent. And often these people are not very very good at making a distinction between the very tiny minority of people who advocate or practice violence and the vast majority of white nationalists who want nothing to do with that. Quote, and this is FBI Director Christopher Wray, we're particularly focused on domestic terrorism, especially racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, said Wray. Not only is the terror threat diverse, it's unrelenting. I don't know what that means. Ray's announcement came just 2 weeks after FBI agents arrested 8 members of the violent neo-Nazi The Base, 3 of whom were allegedly discussing firing into the crowd during the large pro-gun rally in Virginia last month. In recent months, the FBI has also foiled 2 synagogue bombings. I'm not convinced that The Base is as described, a neo-Nazi, a violent group. But The Guardian recently revealed the identity of the leader of The Base, Norman Spear, and confirmed that he is indeed an intelligence contractor and suspected federal agent. The Base is a translation of Al-Qaeda, another terrorist group set up in the United States by U.S. intelligence to further the geopolitical objectives of Israel. Now, it would be interesting that The Base, supposedly this violent neo-Nazi group, I always worry when they tag that label on it, because I'm sure that wasn't the label they put on it themselves. Regardless, most of the plots the FBI pats itself on the back for foiling were cooked up by the agency itself, and the attacks that actually take place usually have all the telltale signs of being staged psyops which are actually legal after the Smith Modernization Act of 2012. You'll wonder how much of this actually corresponds to reality. Just east of Toronto, just outside east of the border, the boundaries of metropolitan Toronto, there is a community called Whitby. And Whitby was the scene of something of a kerfuffle recently, late last week. Some posters began to appear. Oh my gosh, posters. You would think that the news cycle might have more weightier matters to devote themselves to, but then you'd be wrong. And these posters had to do with what's become known quite correctly as the Great Replacement Theory. That we are, the European founding settler people of North America, Canada in particular, are being replaced by the Third World. Now this isn't, and the important thing here is that this is not an accident. This is not... you know, like the north wind blows, or not much you can do about it, and nobody really caused it. This is replacement by policy. And it's been going on for 50 years. Successive governments, beginning with the Liberals in 1965, particularly speeding up with the new Immigration Act in 1976, and ever since, federal governments of Canada, Liberal, Conservative, it doesn't matter, they're all in on it. They follow a policy of large-scale immigration, 85% of it every year from the Third World. So large numbers, doesn't matter whether employment, it used to be, there used to be what was called a push-pull in terms of employment. That if unemployment was low, they'd bring in more immigrants. If unemployment was high, they would cut back. So there was some attempt to match immigration to the country's economic needs. Well, not any longer. Actually, beginning under Stephen Harper, all that went out the window, and now it's just a free for all. They can't bring them in fast enough. Now, so I kind of belabor this because some people, it was particularly critics of people noticing what's happening. Like to throw around the word, the accusation that this is some sort of right-wing conspiracy theory. Well, it's not a theory. This is is regrettably a reality. So anyway, back to Whitby, Ontario, and the latest. Well, I won't exactly say tempest in a teapot, but the incident that really set things off late last week. And that was the appearance of a few posters. And in a case like this, I like to go to the source. I actually like to see what the poster was. Never mind how somebody describes it, but actually... I actually want to see what they're saying. Not what somebody says they're saying. anyway, I went and took a look at the poster, and it's all very interesting. And here it is. I want to read it exactly as it appears to you. it's, I would say, probably just lettered on a computer. It's no graphics. It's all words. Great replacement of European Canadians is not a conspiracy theory. It's an undeniable fact supported by statistics that are provided by the government of Canada, and it's true. You know, all of that is true. The Great Replacement, that is, that the European founding settler people of Canada are being replaced by policy. That's not a conspiracy theory. We're not saying little men from Mars did it. We're not saying I saw Elvis at the down at the at McDonald's last night. This is not a conspiracy theory. And the evidence the people who put out this poster are saying that in 1867, that's when Canada became a dominion, became self-governing, the European population was 98%. In 1971, the European population was about the same, 98%. In fact, Canada was overwhelmingly European or white, and white. A very tiny, tiny minority of East Indians, some blacks, and some Chinese and Japanese. And of course, the native people. However, and then they make the further point that this percentage is tumbling, so that now, currently, and they've got this wrong. I think they say the Europeans are currently 72%. Actually, we're about 78%, or just a little bit lower. But there's no doubt we are in steady and catastrophic decline. And the poster says that by 2035, we will be a minority. Actually, given the current immigration levels and white birth rates, etc., those being the contributing factors, we will be a minority by 2050 or a bit before. So the conclusions of the poster are a little bit off. But they're absolutely right about the trend. The trend, the poster is, with the two exceptions I've noted, completely factual. Now, the hysterical reactions in Whitby, according to Global TV News, and this is how the story was headlined. This is not the Whitby I live in. Town experts react to racist posters spotted around the city. Now, okay, what does that headline mean? This is not the Whitby I live in. The guy who says this is actually the mayor. What do you mean it's not the Whitby you live in? Of course it is. I mean, the posters were found there. They weren't found in Washington, D.C. And this is part of what I call the fake news. The news agencies make a story out of something that isn't a story. Oh, yes, just in case you didn't know what to make of the poster. Well, the headline tells you. The town experts react to racist posters spotted around the city. Racist. Now, I've read it to you. Does it mention race? Does it attack anybody on the basis of race? Oh, no. It is laying out some facts. That we are being replaced. Now, ironically, it is racist because those who would do this to us are trying to diminish us or replace us as a race. That is racist. It's not racist to notice this. And you see, racist is a jello term. What I mean is, it's hard to grab its meaning. Actually, racist was a weaponized word invented by a man named Lev Davidovich Bronstein. And it's all scare and no substance. What is racist about recognizing changes in demographics, particularly ones that trace the replacement of this country's European founding settler people? And many mainline publications do this. That Toronto used to be, something like 98% British Isles and European. It became more and more diverse, and by now, people of European ancestry are a minority. Now, that's in the regular newspapers. I call this basically race realism. It's not racist. Which, you see, that defamatory term, being very loosey-goosey, is evil to throw around. Mayor Don Mitchell, he's the one who said, "This is not the Whitby I live in, and certainly does not reflect the values of our town." That's what he claims. How does he know that? How does he know that the concern about our being replaced, of Europeans being replaced, being made a minority in our own country, how does he know that does not reflect the values of at least many people in town? And I ask the question, do the European folks living in Whitby really welcome and rejoice in their own replacement? And it's always got to be emphasized, a result of deliberate immigration policies going back to 1965. See, that's what they don't like. No, we're not saying it's a conspiracy. We're saying it's policy. But it's policy we never had a chance to debate. You see, because if you discuss that, in fact, even this poster, which just lays out facts, is denounced as racist, then most people don't want to be called racist, so you shut up. Well, the story gets even juicier, and police are investigating. My question is, what's to investigate? The expression of a political point of view? Consul George Tudos assured Global News, obviously we take these very seriously, such political, this is a sort of political policing that you would expect, maybe in Cuba, where your political views are of great concern to the state. In communist countries, in dictatorships, that was not supposed to be the way in Canada. In democracies, your politics, political expression, should only be of concern to the police if they are implemented through violence, or if there might be a breach of public order because some violent person wants to beat you up. That's the only way politics should be a police concern. Oh yes, then there's an expert, according to the news story. And then the expert, that's Dr. Barbara Perry with the Ontario Tech Center on Hate, Bias, and Extremism. Hate, bias, and extremism. I wonder if that would be, anti-white hatred. Is she going to be investigating groups like that? Well, I'll tell you, be in any doubt about this. Her entire concern is right-wing, white nationalist. People are actually proud of themselves. But it's quite the name of a center. The Center on Hate, Bias, and Extremism. Want to investigate bias, Barbara, honey? Look at the fake news media. Uh, I mean, just this article itself, which helpfully, in terms of being soap opera media, tells us that the poster is racist. And as if that's news. It's not news. It's an editorial. Anyway, this Barbara, Dr. Barbara Perry, she's the expert. They consult her, and she says they could be coming from more extreme groups like the Soldiers of Odin, all of which have a presence in the area. Perry says far-right groups such as the Soldiers of Odin are very fearful of loss of privilege. In fact, the woman doesn't know. She had no idea, I'm sure. And Soldiers of Odin, the posters don't say Soldiers of Odin. And she says, she tries to poo-poo the content of the poster by saying these groups are very fearful of loss of privilege. That's very mischievous. People have every right to fear being overwhelmed and replaced. That's what it's all about. It's their country. It's not a privilege. And if, in fact, we are being replaced, and we are, it's not a matter of losing privilege. It's a matter of losing our country. Did we ever sit down and have a meeting, a consultation, and say, you know, we're just so damn bored being European and white and all that. We should bring in large dollops from the third world and turn this into a mulligan stew of different races. How many people are in favor of that? In fact, in a certain number of years, you will be, as many people has told me, I feel a stranger when I'm at a bus stop. I'm the only white person there, or I'm on a subway car, and there's one other poor white person at the other end of the car. All the rest of the people here are non-white. Did we ever sign up for that? Well, no, we didn't. We were never asked. We're told, and if this is what's happening, diversity is our greatest strength. No, it isn't. Diversity is just another word for confusion and mess. Anyway, more about the expert. Anyway, this is Barbara Perry, whom I know a little bit about. Anyway, Barbara Perry. And she's massively funded by the federal government. Now, not to say that she may not be telling the truth about some things, but let's put it this way. You get over $300,000, $367,000 actually, over 3 years, to do a study on right-wing extremism. Well, let's put it this way. If you're going to sing for your supper, you'd better have some, you better have a good story about all the dangers there is. You know, supposedly, let's take a look at it. These posters are amateurish. I'm not saying there's anything, wrong with that. No, they're not. But come on. Is this really an issue? So a few people put up some posters. Anyway, she's supposedly an expert. She's massively funded by the government. But this expert has never, and she's supposed to be looking into right-wing extremism, and particularly on immigration. She never interviewed me or anybody with the Canada First Immigration Reform Committee, the other major think tank publisher in terms of immigration is Immigration Watch Canada, led by Dan Murray. She's never been interviewed either, but she's an expert. Now, I know you can do research online, of course, but The Chronicle, which is the newspaper of of the Ontario Tech Institute, Tech Center, last March, reported that the center on hate, bias, and extremism was receiving $367,000 over 3 years for the examination of right-wing extremism in Canada. I said at the time, I could save the government a bundle of money. I'd be glad to tell them that for $100,000. Okay, the cause of rising populism, and of course she shows her bias in calling it extremism.
Well, what's extremism? Well, I guess extremism is what I say it is.
And you know, there's the political spectrum. Well, if I happen to be in the middle left, the next group to my right might be right wing, and anything further right is right wing extremism. If I am, let's say, quite conservative, but maybe not a complete full-blown white nationalist, the person right next to me on the right is not an extremist. You see, it's all a matter of perspective. But, you know, it sounds scary, doesn't it? So anyway, she's supposed to examine white right-wing extremism. And I suggested last year, tongue-in-cheek, but causes of right-wing extremism, not difficult to pinpoint. It's immigration, stupid. Immigration that runs contrary to the wishes of the majority of Canadians and which is changing our demographics. And poll after poll have shown that the majority of Canadians do not agree with the large numbers that are coming in and the makeup. Well, this is Paul Fromm. I'm going to take my musical interlude right now. Back in a few minutes. I'm going to play some German drinking songs. Hope you like them. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com.
This is Paul Crum, and you're on the fighting side of me. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. The show is repeated at 8 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. All of those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Our fair dominion now extends from Cape Race to Nootka Sound. May peace forever be our lot and plenteous store abound. And may those ties of love be ours, which discord cannot sever, and flourish green o'er freedom's home, the maple leaf forever.